Don't forget. Have fun. Do what you got to do. But don't forget why we do it. And so really, what more can you say to that? But we need to move on. And we need to remember. We need to reflect. And we need to fight for this country. Because it's definitely worth fighting for. And so this morning I want us to look at part of stewardship. It's a stewardship that, of course, stewardship involves money, involves giving, involves a lot of things. We're going to look at one aspect of it this morning. Lord willing, we'll look next week at another. But it's the stewardship of our lives that we need to focus on for the story that we leave, the story that we give, that we can help, the legacy that we can leave. But it all comes because we've learned to use our time the way we should. Stewardship in an area of time. It's an important area. It's an important thing in our lives. When we think about it, we realize how precious time is. Sometimes time is more precious than money. But it was time that these that have fallen took from their lives to give so that we could be free. It's the time that people heal from those memories. It's the time that God gives to us every day that we have. But time is important. And as I said, sometimes time is worth more than money. I remember back in the late 80s, we were at a church board meeting and we were discussing things that needed to be done around the church. And one businessman said, "Let's pay to have it done. We don't have time." In other words, he recognized that time was more valuable. Let's pay for it. And that was way back then. I think now the crunch is even worse that we see in our lives. It's true today. We have to pay, and we do pay, for a lot of things that we used to do ourselves. Now, some of the things we can't do ourselves because they made them so complicated that unless you have the proper everything to go into it, but we pay to have it done because we don't have time. And yet we have all these conveniences, all these tools, all these things to make life easier. So you think we'd have more time, right? Today, to start a business, if you want to do that, start a business that no one, of something that no one else wants to do. You find something that no one else wants to do and you start a business doing that, it'll probably work because you're going to be needed. People are strapped for time, but guess what? There's still 24 hours in a day. That's the way God made it. People say today, well, we're busier than they were years ago. Well, that's a half-truth, because think about it. They did everything the long way. They did everything the hard way because they didn't have the conveniences that we do. Today, we fill up what should be freer time to be with family, to be with friends, to be with church folks. We fill it with pleasures. We fill it with more work so that we can pay for our expensive tastes. And it seems like we don't want to just know how, and we don't know how to be quiet. Many people today don't know how to handle quiet time. They try to cram as much into a day. They try and cram as much into what they think makes them successful because they're so busy, they don't have time to turn around. Does that make somebody a success? No, not at all. The successful, godly, kingdom-building giants of the past learned to spend quiet time with God. And we saw great gains in our country, great gains in Christianity, because there were those that knew how to take the quiet time so that they could put it into God's time to make a real difference in the world. We are successful at making a health risk, really. But there are benefits that come from being able to spend in quiet. We cause health risks because we're trying to cram so much in, trying to do so much, trying to be so much. We don't know how to spend quiet time, especially quiet time with the Lord. You look at the Sabbath that the Jews had. Now, I'm not saying we need to do that, But you look at what they did. They had one day where they stopped doing everything. They stopped work. They stopped doing everything. They gave it to the Lord. They rested. They were refreshed. They were recouped. They were ready to start back at it again. God knew we needed that rest. Sunday is our day, supposedly. But we fill it up with doing. Well, I didn't get this done yesterday. I'll just do it Sunday. But God wants us to have a time to rest and to allow the recouping of our system and our bodies and our spirit. You see, what happens is we fill it with so many things that makes us, you know, not any more productive than we would have if we had spent that time with God. It's amazing, if you'll try it, that God has a way of making you more productive if you'll spend time with Him. He will get you'll get more things done, you'll get more specific things done, and you'll be more productive if you put Him first in your time with Him. He somehow, I don't know how He does it, He's God, He doesn't explain it to us, but He helps us to get that done. Millions of dollars are spent by and giving it to people who are going to teach us how to manage our time. And so they're paid, and they bring them into seminars, and they would give us all these devices. You know, we have so many devices to try and manage our time that we don't have time to learn how to do it. And so what does it profit us? But how much of our time is spent building treasures in heaven? We kind of talked about it a little bit in Sunday school. We get so busy in life that the spiritual things get crowded out. When the bottom line is, when everything is said and done, all the dust settles and everything's done, there's only one thing that's going to matter. And Jesus is going to say, "What did you do for me?" Now, He doesn't expect every one of us to be in full-time ministry. We can't do that. But He expects us to do whatever we're doing, wherever we work, wherever we go to school, whatever we... He expects us to put Him first. And through those avenues that He's given us to work in, He wants us to be building treasures for Him. Stewardship of our time is an important, proper aspect of stewardship, as I said, just as much as money, possessions, giving. It's a very, very specific thing that we need to be good stewards of. But how much eternal value are we building into our lives? How much eternal value are we building into our families? How much eternal value are we building into those that are around us? That's what's going to matter. That's what's going to count. You see, when we get busy, we have no time to give it to the Lord. In service, in ministry, we're just too busy. You say, well, there's no ministry to invest in. Well, that's partly because people are too busy to get involved. You can't have a ministry if there's nobody to do the ministry. If there's nobody willing to say, you know what, I want to be trained. Help me to do this because I have a burden for this. And help me with that. But we're so busy that we don't do that. Investing in starting a ministry to a target group that maybe you have a burden for, you know, is something that maybe the Lord's tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, I've gifted you. We've looked at spiritual gifts. You have this ability. You have this motivation. Why not do something with it? I'm not going to give you any lessons this morning on time management, but I want to help us draw out of Scripture what God says about our time. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, Paul talks about it. He says, pay careful attention then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Would you agree that we live in evil days? I think so, don't you? I think these days are evil. Paul says we are to make the most of our time. We're to redeem the time. He says you pay close attention as you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most. And so Paul says we're to make the most of our time. You see, we waste a lot of time in our society. A lot of time is just blown off. I'm not saying it's a waste of time to do fun things. I like doing fun things. Sometimes my fun things aren't anybody else's fun things because they don't think it's fun to go to the garden, but I do, and they think it's fun to do other things, and that's fine. But we sometimes carry things to an extreme, and then we get time wasted. Time we could use to better ourselves. in making ourselves more effective, in building into our lives time that we could spend with the Lord, times that we could spend with ministry, times we could spend helping others, time we could help building into their life so that they could better handle their time. You know, verse 16 says we are to make the most of our time. And again, that reason, the days are evil and getting worse. Blatant evil is there, staring us in the face, demanding that we do what it wants. And when we don't stand against evil, we're voting for the evil. When we don't stand against those things, we're actually for those things. There's no middle ground. You're either for Christ or you're against Christ. There's no middle ground. You're either making progress for him or you're making progress for the enemy, because he loves it when Christians don't move forward. He loves it when Christians don't grow. He loves it when Christians are so busy getting successful, they don't have time to spend with the Lord, and the enemy just smiles and grins and he says, yeah, it's working. It's working. You see, an undisciplined use of time can easily lead us into being lured into evil in many, many different ways. Well, I deserve to be able to do this because I've spent so much time. But is it the right time? Was it the quality time? You see, when Paul says redeem the time, when he says to make the most of the time, some translations say redeemed, he means literally to buy it up, to secure it. Like you would buy something that's valuable at the marketplace. Seize the opportunity. Making your market experience and taking it to the full opportunity for your life by taking that time and getting it under control. The word also has a context of buying it back. You know, once time is used, you can't get it back, but we can redeem the time by doing things now that will help us be more productive in the future that maybe we squandered in the past. You see, buying back the time at the expense of personal watchfulness. Sometimes it takes self-denial. It's not a word that's popular today, a phrase. We don't like self-denial in America. I don't have to deny myself. After all, I've earned this. Well, just remember, you only do what you do because God allows you to do it. He gives you the ability, he gives you the breath, he gives you the life. And if we don't honor him properly, guess what he can do? Take it. Just like that. Thankfully, he's merciful. Thankfully, he loves us and he gives us a break. So the present time, which is now being used for evil and good, godless purposes, we need to take that back and use it for him, for his glory, for his kingdom. In other words, the minutes God gives you, and if needed, to be cutting things out of our lives, sometimes we have to cut even good things out of our lives so that we can do the best things, so that we can do those things that are the best. Things with eternal value, things with eternal consequence, things that will matter in a month, things that will matter in a year, things that will matter in 5 years. Do you ever notice yourself sometimes getting into arguments and conflicts over some kind of a thing? And then you stop and ask yourself, what's this going to matter in a month? What's this going to matter in a year? Is it even going to matter down the road? And a lot of times the answer is no. Then what am I arguing, fighting for, fussing with that when I could be spending my time in something that will matter next month, next year, in 5 years? You know, the word time here refers to the shortness of life, the opportunity, referring to diligent use and the opportunities we have in life. I like a saying that's out there, and maybe you do too, life is short, eat dessert first, right? Because that's, you know, if you don't get to the main course, get the dessert in, kind of a thing. Godliness is the result, though, of a disciplined spiritual life. At the heart of a disciplined spiritual life is the discipline of our time. When we discipline our time, then we can have a disciplined spiritual life, then we have a disciplined heart. You see, if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to see the use of our time as a spiritual discipline. I want to share just a few things this morning about what the Bible says about our time. We need to understand that time is an earth thing, okay? God gave it to us as a measurement. In heaven, there is no time. God is not bound by time. God is outside of time. It's hard to imagine that, but he's outside of time. He doesn't look at the clock and say, oh man, it's time for this, time for that. Everything in its time. You ever notice that Jesus was never in a hurry? He had 3 years. And after 3 years, what did he say? I completed the work you gave me. Have you ever been able to say that? Well, I got this task done. I got this job done. But to have the whole thing, he said, I've done it. I've completed it. And he was never in a rush. And he had to walk everywhere. And he had to do everything the hard way. So even though God gave us time as a measurement, time has become a taskmaster that rules us. Paul said, make the most of your time. So what's the Bible say about the use of our time? Well, we've just seen right here in Ephesians 5, we must, first of all, we need to use it wisely because of the evil in the day in which we live. We need to use time wisely. Okay, we've heard what Paul said about this, and this is kind of a strange phrase, but Paul may have used it because of the persecution and the opposition that they were going through. Make sure you use your time wisely. Make sure you use your time right. You don't know if they're going to come and kill you tomorrow or put you in prison tomorrow for Jesus, so make sure you use it right. They needed to wisely use every minute they had because you didn't know what might be coming next. Do you know what's coming next? You know what's coming next for you in the next 5 seconds? Probably not. Well, we're still here. But what about an hour? What about tomorrow? We don't know. So make the most of your time now. Even though we don't face in our country the type of problem or opposition yet that they were, the world we live in is not conducive to using time wisely, especially for the purposes of spirituality and godliness. We've got time for everything else, but do we have time for that? In fact, our days of activity and our days of active evil that we see in our world that's filled with it, there's great thieves out there of our time. The world and the flesh and the devil want to consume our time. The enemy, if he can get you to waste time, even though you think you're doing something good, he's happy. Because he's got you so busy, you're not doing anything for the Lord. You don't have time for that. You didn't have time to read your Bible today because you got so busy, and now you're so tired you can't keep your eyes open. You don't have time for prayer because you're so busy that you forgot to pray. And so the enemy wins, and we lose. These time robbers may be in the form of high-tech stuff. We got plenty of that today, don't we? Keep our minds busy and our eyes busy. We have the socially acceptable things. We have preoccupations, simple stuff. We have idle talk, ungoverned thoughts, where our thoughts just wander and go wherever they want. Scripture says that's not what's supposed to happen in your life. You're supposed to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Our thoughts need to be disciplined. Otherwise, it may lead you astray. It may waste your time following those things. And it may stagnate you spiritually and pollute you, your whole person. That's why Paul warns us and gives us advice in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, where he's talking to us about not worrying about anything. Usually when time is involved, it also has a companion with it, and it's worry or anxiety, doesn't it? Man, the time is running out. I don't have much time to do this. And the time there, and then we get anxious, and then we worry about it, and we fret about it. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? He says, you can't add an inch to your life. Why are you fussing over it? Relax in him. So he says, don't worry about it, but instead, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses your thoughts and your stresses, the peace of God will come and be with you and surpasses it. Then he tells us what to do. He says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is any praiseworthy, dwell on these things. In other words, think about those things. Fill your mind with those things. That's what we need to be doing. And then in Colossians chapter 3, he gives us some more advice about that similar thing. In chapter 2, he specifically says, set your minds on what is above. Take that time. Set your mind on those things that are above, not on what's on earth. So we need to make sure we designate, what am I doing? Where's my mindset? Where's my focal point? Yes, I have a job. Yes, I have to go to work. Yes, I have to do these things. I can do those better if I first seek the Lord and spend time with Him. I can better serve my boss. I can better serve my employer if I first spend that time with the Lord and get my act together with Him. Then I'm a better and more productive. See, we're commanded to set our minds, discipline them, to think about the things that are godly, that are right, and that are productive. If our minds are preoccupied with a bunch of stuff, we're going to be unproductive. We're going to be wasting time because we're going to be fiddling in our minds trying to figure out what to do and how to make up for what we didn't do, and our time is gone. So because of the evil everywhere, the temptations that come our way, the fullness of our minds with nothing, all our reasons to guard our hearts, to guard our minds so we can be effective. Second thing the Bible says about our time is that our time, we use wise use of our time in the preparation for eternity. Wise use of our time in the preparation for eternity. Now, that doesn't just mean thinking about getting saved all the time. That's not just what it's talking about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul writes this. He says, "For he says, I heard you in an acceptable time, and I helped you in the day of salvation." Paul's talking about here working together. Working together with Christ, working together with other Christians. He says, you know, don't receive God's grace in vain. So when we're serving the Lord, we're basically preparing for eternity. Once you're saved, you've got to ask Christ into your heart. You have to confess your sin. You have to ask, repent of your sin. Ask Him to save your soul and to make you one of His. Now you start thinking about and preparing for eternity. Paul states here that right now it's time to prepare for our eternity. We are so into the right now, though, that we usually aren't thinking like we should be about preparing for eternity, knowing that it's coming, because it's coming. Our eternity is coming. We don't know when. None of us has a guarantee on life. No one knows how long we're going to live, only the Lord. So this is a message that we need to carry to the unsaved around us, our unsaved friends. You don't know how much time you have to get your life right with Christ. You may not make it through to tomorrow, and then your soul is going to be lost because you didn't choose Jesus and ask Him into your life. So we need to share with them that it's not a wise thing to delay a decision because it affects their eternity. Do today. The Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Today, now is the time. And so it also reminds us that we who are Christians, that we need to be using our time wisely to build treasure in heaven. Scripture says where your treasure is, it's where your heart is. By making the most of every opportunity, by creating opportunities to guide people to Christ. If you knew today that tomorrow at 6 o'clock, you're leaving this earth, either the Lord's going to take you or you're going to die. Like, if you knew that, what would you do between now and then? What would you do? How many people would you try and tell about Jesus? What would you do with your life? How would you know, you know, and what would you want to get done because you knew that tomorrow at 6, see you later, you're not going to be here? Think about it. What things would you seek with your remaining hours? How many people would you try to influence for Jesus? Who would you talk with? Who would you try to make things right with that you don't have things right with now? So the idea is redeem the time. How? Do it now. Do it now. Don't wait. Third thing the Bible says about time is that time is short. Time is short. And because time is short, we need to make sure that we're using it in a proper way and in a way that's going to honor the Lord, in a way that's going to help us do the things that we should. James chapter 4, verse 14, James writes, he says, "You don't even know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like smoke that appears for a time, a little while, and then it vanishes." That's what our life is like. Boom, here, gone. You see, the more scarce something is, the more valuable it becomes. When something's scarce, it becomes more valuable. Time is more valuable than wealth. No amount of wealth can buy you 1 second of time. Therefore, time is more valuable. Because of this, Paul's advice rings true. Redeem the time. Buy back the time. Whether you're young or old, only God knows how much time we have left. Maybe you've seen the little memes and things about people that aren't Christian but wanting to get even. And somebody that's really old says, you know what, life in prison doesn't mean much for me because there's not much time left. You know, where somebody that's younger is not going to want to get in trouble. But they only have a little bit of time. But nobody knows. Nobody knows. So Paul's advice rings true. Regardless of how much time you may have left to develop more Christ-likeness, it isn't much. Use it well. Daily, we should be seeking to build his likeness into our lives. Another thing the Bible says about time is that time is passing. Time is passing. Some translations say it's fleeting. It's always going. You can't catch up with it. It's on the move. It's going, going, going. It's moving fast. In 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 17, John writes this. He says, "And the world with its lusts is passing away, but the one who does God's will remains forever." Time's passing away. It's going by. So if we don't discipline our use of time now for the purpose of godliness, guess what? It's not going to be any easier later. Not going to be any easier. Young people, kids, all of us, hear the wisdom of Scripture. Use your time to build godliness into your lives. Build that time so that you're preparing for eternity. Time lost can never be regained. It's gone. The fifth thing we learn about time from Scripture is that we're accountable to God for our time. We're accountable to God for our time. Think about that thought. It's kind of a sobering thought. A very sobering passage comes to us from Romans chapter 14. In verse 12, Romans 14, 12, simply says, "So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." You don't have to give an account for me. I don't have to give an account for you. I have to give an account for myself to God, for who I am, for what I've done, for the things that have gone on in my life. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse number 10. "According to God's grace that was given to me, I've laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it. But each one must be careful how he builds on it. No one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on that foundation," here's your part, here's our spiritual growth, here's building for eternity, here's those things we should be doing. "If anyone builds on the foundation of your salvation of Christ with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw," notice the difference in the building materials there, "each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that has been built survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, it will be lost, but he will be saved, yet it will be like an escape through fire." What's he talking about? He's talking about the Bema judgment that every Christian is going to face. Now, that judgment is not whether you're going to get into heaven or not. You're already in heaven, okay? You're going to stand, and probably this is going to take place while the tribulation is going on down here on earth. In that 7-year period, Christians are going to be coming before Jesus. And he's going to say, "Okay, what'd you do? What'd you do? What'd you do? Oh, you built with gold, wood, silver. You built with gold, silver, precious. No, great. Your work survives the testing of fire. You get a reward." If you come there and you say, "Well, I kind of messed up with my time. Didn't do much for you. Kicked things around. Was busy with all these kinds of things. Well, let's test your works." Takes the bick, lights it up, gone. Well, You don't have a reward, but you're still in heaven. You say, wasn't it worth it just going to heaven? Yeah, it is. But don't you want something to give to him, to lay at his feet when you worship him? Some of your crowns, some of your rewards, to say, because of you, I was able to do this. See, we all must stand before him. We all need to give an account. That includes our time, our use of it, our money, how we used it, what we did with it, all that he's given us, our gifts, everything else. What'd you do with it? God will hold us accountable at that Bema Seat judgment for our uses of time in disciplining ourselves for the purpose of godliness or not. An example of this in God's chastening the Jewish Christians for failing to use their time properly, for failing to do what was right, they were scolded and they were gotten, they got in trouble for it. And they didn't evaluate their use of time. They didn't evaluate how they spent their day. They didn't evaluate those things. The judgment will tell us. But in Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 12, it says, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk, not solid food. And so he said, by now you should be grown up. You should be helping people to grow. You see, I don't know about you, but there's two words I want to hear from Jesus' mouth. Well done. Well done. You want to hear those words? Then we need to be using our time wisely. Jonathan Edwards suggested living each day as if at the end of that day you had to give an account to God of how you used your time. Good advice. Because if we do it daily, when we get to the end, it'll be right. This is only a fraction of what the Bible has to say about time, so I hope we all get the idea that we need to be good stewards of it. There's lots of it. He's given it to us, whether we have a lot more, whether we have a little bit, use it wisely for him. Stewardship of our time, of our gifts, of our resources is all for his glory. All for his glory. Let's stand as we sing in closing this morning.